Well, good morning. Today is Monday, October 11th, 2021, and it is so wonderful to be back with you. We love all of you and appreciate your patience in awaiting this long return to receiving the teachings. Anytime we recognize that our spiritual understanding concerning a truth has increased, it is a thoroughly energizing experience. And just a few days ago, in a conversation with a sister in Christ, the cadence and intonation in her voice left no doubt to me that she was flying high, so to speak, as at how God has so graciously increased the understanding in her heart. Her delight, her thankfulness for that fullness of joy in her fellowship with the Father was very perceptible to me. And it's so funny because the ironic part of it is she called to ask something of me. And bless her heart, when she listens to this teaching, she'll realize how much she gave to me. Over a week period of time, I experienced terrible pain due to repeatedly aggravating a weakness in my upper spinal column. Certainly nothing life-threatening, but and my own fault. And at this point in my recovery, it's just about to become a memory. I do thank you for your prayers. That same day that I spoke with this believer, a neighbor a few roads away from us, almost 90 years young, called to say that I'd been on her mind and in her prayers for days, so she was now calling to check on me. You know, such unusual and spontaneous blessings that occur in our lives as we interact, those are prompted by the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're launching a new series of study, and prayer is not the topic. But as we begin and continue in the next few weeks, you will see how it is all a perfect fit. Our prayers for each other are vital beyond anything we could truly comprehend, honestly. And of course, we don't always call when someone is prayerfully on our heart. You know, that's not what I'm saying, that if you get an idea or just a movement in your heart to pray for somebody that you must call them right away and let them know or check on them. But gee, if I called some of the people that God places on my hearts to pray for, I imagine they would hang up on me. But nonetheless, it is our prayers that make the difference for us and for others. And oftentimes, words in a situation can be ill-timed, but prayer is always on time. The timing of prayer is never wrong, where sometimes words can just be premature for what is going on. They need comfort or they need something else than an actual scripture at that moment. Maybe they just need a hug, or maybe they just need to go sit and have a cup of coffee with you. Prayer truly is the greatest wireless connection to the Father of lights. And I love considering that little quote that I'm starting to notice around artwork I see here and there. And it's because God is light. And how fast is the speed of light? It's faster than our wireless internet connection, I'll tell you. And the reckoning on that, on the speed of light, how fast it is actually changed over the years. But currently, it is scientifically calculated to be a constant finite speed of 186,000 miles per second. Now, what does that mean? So that you can visualize that, that means that a traveler moving at the speed of light would go around the world 7.5 times in 1 second, in a blink of an eye. Well, and that's how fast Christ is going to return, too, don't forget. Well, there's fresh thinking for considering God's timetable. And throughout the teaching series, which we will begin today, God's light will be at the heart of our considerations. And really, how appropriate. Because thus far in 2021, we have sought to build upon a solid foundation, one of God's word concerning himself, God's word concerning his son, number two, and three, his gift of Holy Spirit created in the heart of every believing one. And having that clarity and that stability in our understanding of God, of his son, and of his gift, that provides for us a solid rock upon which we can build and structure the way that we live, our beliefs, our convictions. This clear knowledge really does spare us from the sinking and ever-shifting sands of all the religious dogmas. All of this should lead us to the Epistle of 1 John, which is where we're going to be in the next few weeks. And that Epistle of John, the Epistles of John are often, especially 1 John, they're often referred to as the Fellowship Epistles. And, you know, with Beloved of God Ministry, Larry, since the get-go, has poured out his heart about God's unconditional love for all of mankind, about the importance of both knowing and then the equal importance, maybe more importance, of believing God's love for us. And more specifically, the qualities of his love and care and the durability of his unfailing divine love. And then sometimes we get excited, and a lot of times really, and the two of us then begin to just talk and fellowship in our home. And we marvel at any incremental increase in new insight. But then we always kind of chuckle and say, we realize that we're just seeing the tip of an iceberg. The tip of the iceberg. So no matter our understanding at any given time of how good God is, he continues to reveal to our believing hearts that his love is yet bigger and better than we had previously thought. And you know, we can have that expectation until the return, until we know as we are known, that can be our expectation. Our constant prayer, even to this day, is for two more verses, Lord. Just two more verses to fit together. And that is certainly our prayer for this series on God's light. When we open our Bibles to the first page of the Holy Scriptures, by the time we reach verse 3, God's will is known, because it says, let there be light. And you know what? The verse continues, there was light. And then in verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. In the Hebrew language, good, it includes illumination in every sense. Illumination, it includes light, good, light. From the concrete, from the concrete luminaries which provide exterior brightness, all the way to the state of being happy or bright on the inside. So it's an exterior illumination, so we can see, and interior illumination, which makes us bright and happy and blessed. So everything from the light of the heavenly luminaries, the moon, the sun, the stars, which provide us light for the night, for the dawning of each new day, all the way to the luminary that provides us with the light of life, the light of prosperity, and the light of instruction. It is interesting to note that God then Look at this. Then he divided the light from the darkness. He separated them. He set apart the light from the darkness. He made an absolute distinction between the two. And in the first epistle of John, God's love for us and our love for God is a central theme. His love for us is divine. His love for us is perfect. Now, our love for Him comes into effect when we think and live founded and established by His light, in His light. We are loving Him when our spiritual hearts are pumping out the virtues of God's light and love. Think about this. How many parenting books teach moms and dads that they should train their children to grow and develop into good people? That's good advice, right? Sure. They say, be good, speak kindly, inside voice, share with others, practice forgiveness, and so on. Yet, we don't realize those instructions are like ever-shifting sand. So just hold on. I say that because goodness, kindness, sharing, forgiveness, they are all relative measurements. They are all relative terms. God's light is an absolute. It is not relative. The way that we naturally perceive things, each person, it's based on our individual experiences and exposures to the things we have been exposed to and experienced in our lives. Therefore, how one person perceives kindness may be thought of differently by the next person, and there can be vast differences. There's vast differences in the religious teaching realm on what God's love is. You know, God's love in one situation is unconditional, and the next He's gonna whack you because He wants to teach you something. You know, so they can be very far apart, and yet it's easy and understandable how that is that way. Every parent, out of their own uniqueness, develops a perception as to what these wholesome virtues look like. Remember all those virtues we read about in Peter, you know? And it is rare that, especially starting off, that a mom and a dad agree on their children's accountability for good and kind behavior, because they may have different concepts of what good and kind behavior is. So the wise dad and mom, they go to God's word to be illuminated from within. You know, the point is, we teach children about God, about Jesus Christ, about the gift of Holy Spirit. We get them born again. We pray for them. We build them on the only unmovable foundation, which is found only in the Father of absolute light. And allow the story written upon the tables of your heart as a parent to be read by your children. Then you know what? With the luminary on the inside and the visual of how their parents demonstrated that truth, those truths, they will grow to be biblically good, kind, generous, and forgiving. Their behavior will not be situational. It will not be a response, but it will be the outflowing of God's light from their very being, from their heart. And when we bring our thinking to agree with the light of God, we can be on the same page. That's how we become like-minded in Christ. In Ephesians 4:23, it encourages us, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we don't sit down and discuss how we're going to define good, how we're going to define kind. What are the perimeters for forgiveness? No. It says in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Allow the pursuit of God's light to be the focus. It alone is stable and fixed and absolute. Think of Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, I keep saying God's light is fixed, it's solid, it's absolute. Well, in James 1:16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So where does every good and every perfect gift come from?
Above.
Absolutely. That is a constant. And it cometh down from the Father of lights. That is a constant. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no change, no variation, no fickleness. The word no is another one of those primary words, meaning an absolute negative. God is the Father of lights, and he's never going to change. Within the light that God separated from the darkness, within that light that God separated out from the darkness, comes down every good and every perfect gift. That is not going to change. It's absolute. It's fixed. It's stable. It's constant. Good and only good comes from God. And I'm going to tell you, that gets challenged in our minds with fiery darts probably more times than we realize. What comes out of the darkness is quite another story. In fact, just this week, Larry read me an account of a man who was a self-purported Satanist. And he said he didn't get COVID because he worships the devil and had the devil's protection over him. You know, I mean, how many levels of deception is this man buried under that he would think that? Good comes from above. Protection comes from above, down from the Father of lights. It does not magically appear out of the darkness. The devil would eat his own in a heartbeat. There are no deals for good to be made with him. And the word for variableness is a compound word, and it quantifies and qualifies God's light. And the first part of the compound word, it's para. It means alongside of. And the second part goes back to a root word, allos, A-L-L-O-S, meaning of a different kind. And this is stunning because with the Father of Lights, there is nothing, in all caps and exclamation marks, there is nothing good or perfect that runs alongside of a different kind. God's nature is true. It is solid. He severed the light from the darkness. And it's devilish thinking that God's ends would ever justify his means. And yet, in so many words, we hear that taught. We hear people say that in so many words. God is the Father of lights. Now, shadow of turning is amazing as well. Nothing of this world will overshadow the immutability of God's light. Shadows are caused by changes in others. In other words, no changes in this world can cast a shadow on the unchanging fountainhead and origin of light. God is incapable of changing his nature. He is incapable also of being changed by the actions of others. Well, I think that's comforting. That's truth worth planting in your heart. Have you ever been tempted to think that God is mad at you? Well, of course, I think we all have. Disappointed in us? Sure. Maybe things in life even start falling apart when we just kind of slip away and seem to turn our back on his instructions and his wisdom about life. And be assured that things falling apart for us, for you, it's not God's punishment. It's not God's pushback on your lack of faithfulness. The absolute good and light of God's nature do not and cannot run parallel or alongside any deviation or change in his nature. Light was severed from the darkness in Genesis 1:4. And in 1 John 1, verse 5, and we will come back to the opening verses in this epistle, probably in our next teaching. But for now, I want to stay on this track with God is light to close out today's segment. And in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, in this verse, we read the phrase seems to have a little added to it. It's no darkness at all, which we know in grammar to be a double negative. So there's no wheedling out of that meaning. There's no way around that meaning. He is no darkness at all. That's it. No variableness. And that's kind of contrary to the pagan concepts in the first century. And we'll see as we go along, that's really what John was endeavoring to handle in these epistles. But even today, God's nature is not a mixture of light and darkness according to a whim. Genesis solved that one. He divided the light from the darkness, no variable. No being parallel with another kind, something of another kind. This truth is so vital to God is love. Now think about this. It is so vital to God is love. The foundation of God's divine love is absolute light. His love is founded and established on pure, stable, fixed, absolute light. That's the basis for God's love for you, for us. It is founded and established on light that cannot change and will never change. That's why his love will never fail. That's why God's love will never end. So next week, we'll begin in chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 John, and begin to add in some other dimensions to this wonderful and really gorgeous fellowship epistle. God bless you.